Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That's Beethoven, this is Soundcheck, and I'm John Schaefer. If you want to be a classical pianist when you grow up, it helps to have classical music in the home. Maybe have musical parents. At least have access to a piano. A young Paul Lewis had none of that. But this son of a Liverpool docker who grew up in a home where music meant the occasional John Denver record is now one of the most acclaimed pianists in England, and he's made a number of converts here in the States, too. We'll talk to Paul Lewis in a moment, but first, he's at our piano to play this Allegretto in C minor by Franz Schubert live on Soundcheck. That is Paul Lewis, live in the Soundcheck studio, and music by Franz Schubert, the Allegretto in C minor. Paul is performing tomorrow night at the Metropolitan Museum here in New York, part of a cycle of the complete late piano works of Franz Schubert. Paul, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
This is quite a story, growing up in and around Liverpool, working class roots and stuff, no piano in the house. How did you come to classical music?
I can't remember, really. It was a very standard working class upbringing in Liverpool. There was no sort of music to speak of, really. There was the local radio. It was, like you said, my dad's John Denver Records. He was a big fan. I'm not knocking it. But, the thing is, I had very supportive parents. They're not musical at all, but they were supportive of what I wanted to do. I wanted to join the local record library, which is where I got to know lots of music, and they took me to concerts at the Liverpool Philharmonic, and I kind of had everything I needed, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that sense.
So were you the weird kid in the neighborhood when all the other guys are running around kicking a ball around? You're off in the library scouring through Beethoven records and stuff?
I'm still the weird kid in the neighborhood, right? Yeah, it was a little bit like that. Yeah, at the local school that I went to, there weren't many kids that were interested in the same sorts of things. But when I was 14, I went to Cheetham School of Music in Manchester. It's a specialist music school, and that was great because, you're mixing with kids with similar interests, and you're discovering chamber music and playing together for the first time, and that was great.
When did you actually get access to a piano and begin to play?
Actually, when I was four, a great aunt bought me a little organ, like a toy organ with an octave and a half.
Like one of those little plug-in electric organs?
Yeah, or the battery-operated thing.
Okay. I had one of those.
Yeah.
Of course, I never went on to play Beethoven and Schubert, but all right, go ahead.
Well, that was the first time I ever laid a finger on a keyboard, and I started sort of playing things, picking out tunes and that sort of thing. But it wasn't until when I went to the local school, of course, there was a piano in the assembly hall, and I used to go in and just mess around, really. At break times, I wanted to learn piano because it felt like it was my instrument, but there was no piano teacher available at the school, so that's why I started learning the cello, which definitely wasn't my instrument, but, we'll pass over that.
Isn't that funny that you can not only have the musical urge, but that it's that specific? It must be this instrument and not that instrument.
Yeah, I think, this is the thing, that a physical ability to play an instrument is not necessarily connected to a kind of musical ability to interpret music. It's separate, really.
So there are lots of people who can play the piano but perhaps shouldn't.
Well, or maybe the other way around, who could offer something very valuable.
If they just had the opportunity. As you eventually got. We're speaking with Paul Lewis. I mentioned your performance tomorrow night at the Metropolitan Museum is part of the complete late piano works of Schubert. Mm-hmm. Now that you are a classical pianist, you seem to think big all the time. You did the complete, all five Beethoven piano concertos at the Proms. You're in the process of recording all of the Beethoven piano sonatas. Why take on like really big projects like this?
I don't know, really. I just get obsessed with the music that I know that I really love, and I want to spend as much time with that as I can. I mean, I think it's important to mix it up as well, to have periods where you play a variety of things, but I like spending, 2-3 years specifically with certain repertoire, and that's just how I like to do it. I mean, this is the kind of music that you never get bored of. It's the sort of music that every time you come back to it, you're going to see something different. Something's going to be, something will present itself differently, or you'll look at it differently. And I know that, I can keep coming back to this music the rest of my life, and it'll always be something new.
Now, the late Schubert. What are you considering the late Schubert? What period?
Well, I suppose late Schubert goes, just into the last couple of years, really. But this series that I'm doing spans 1822, which is the time that he had the diagnosis of syphilis, to 1828 when he died. And it's at that point that everything changed in his music, really. And that's why I wanted to focus on this.
So these works have a little more, I guess the buzzword these days is gravitas than some of the earlier things, maybe?
Yeah, suddenly you find there's horror, there's despair, there's anguish, and there's kind of sadness-tinged nostalgia. And it's all sorts of, you know, the kind of things that we can relate to in one way or another with, you know, feelings of longing, feelings of loss. And I think that's why the message is still relevant.
Mm-hmm. One of the interesting things about doing a big project like this is that you don't just play, say, the late piano sonatas, but if you're playing all the pieces, we get to hear things we might not have heard before.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this Hungarian melody you're about to play for us.
Yeah.
Where's this from?
This is just on its own. It doesn't come from a set of pieces. It's not part of, you know, a bigger scheme. It's just a little 4-minute piece that exists on its own. It's quite late. It comes from the last few years of Schubert's life.
And is it genuinely Hungarian, as far as you know?
Well, I don't know. See what you think.
All right. let's hear a live performance from Paul Lewis, who's with us on Soundcheck today and performing tomorrow night at the Metropolitan Museum as part of a cycle that will bring him back to New York in late April as well. Here he is with Schubert's Hungarian Melody, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
That's music by Franz Schubert, the little-known Hungarian melody, and a live performance at Our Piano from the English pianist Paul Lewis, who's with me on Soundcheck today. And when you're not playing the piano, Paul, are you still flying planes? And I have a follow-up question, which is, are you insane?
Which part of that question would you like me to answer first?
Well, I guess the second sort of depends on the first, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can answer that in one, really. I used to take flying lessons, but before I got responsible enough to get married and have kids, my wife kind of thought that perhaps I didn't need to put myself at that kind of personal risk, you know, anymore. But I loved it, you know, and it's something that it's difficult to find the time, really, mm-hmm. to do it. But, it's something that I love to do. I did go solo. That was a great thrill, but I just didn't get to the stage where I got my license. But it's something I'd like to think that I could take up.
I didn't think you could go solo without a license.
Yeah, you have to. It's kind of maybe midway through your training. You basically just do circuits. You know, you don't sort of.
But you still got to get up and come back down safely. That's
true.
Isn't that the tricky part?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, once you're up there, you could hand me the wheel, and I'm sure I could get you in a circle. But I couldn't get you back down. So how did you get into that?
I've always loved flying. I mean, I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to aviation. You know, and I know a few other musicians who are too.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But it's, yeah. It's,
you
it's
guys don't spend enough time on airplanes? Is that what it is?
Obviously not. Yeah.
Now, this current tour of yours is, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you're going from here to Berkeley and then back to Boston. I mean, you're crisscrossing the U.S. playing only the first part of this Schubert cycle.
Yeah.
And then you come back in the spring, April 29th, again at the Met, to do the second part.
Yeah.
How long will this go for? How much of your life are you devoting to this?
This is 2 years. So this is until the first part of 2013.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, like with the Beethoven sonatas, when I did the cycle, that was nearly 3 years. And if you're going to do, you know, if you're going to try to do justice to this kind of music, then I think you have to concentrate on it and devote that amount of time to it, really.
So the first performance at the Metropolitan Museum is tomorrow night, February 18th, and then Paul Lewis is back on April 29th. And just to kind of come back to where we started, you know, it sounds like your parents really did a lot for you, you know, that they would not have expected to have to do for you to get you started on this career. What did you mentioned they took you to, like, Liverpool Philharmonic concerts and stuff. Did they become classical music lovers?
Not really. No.
They
come to my
concerts. That's a heartwarming ending to our little story.
Well, my dad sort of, yeah, he's a bit curious about it. Mm-hmm. My mum can take it or leave it, but yeah, I mean,
just keeps you out of trouble, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Basically.
Paul Lewis, a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
Little bit of the Schubert Piano Sonata No. 19 in a recording by Paul Lewis, and that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. On our next program, our occasional series on superfans returns with a look inside the world of Jimmy Buffett's number one fans, the so-called Parrotheads, and a live performance from singer-songwriter Alexi Murdoch. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell, the program produced by Greta Cohn with Nona Willis-Aronowitz. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer, and we had help today from George Wellington and Tiffany Kamhai. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck.